you used the word instrumentation. And I think that's exactly right. You know, we have, you know, to some extent in the software business, figured out that we need to instrument software in terms of things like event logging, right?
Right.
So that, you know, we can have a window into what it is doing and where things fail, you know, but we really haven't kind of gotten routinely deployed instrumentation for figuring out what's going on at the interface between the, you know, the software and the user.
Right.
And I think that, that, you know, to me, that's what's really most exciting about all this is the notion that you can have increasingly now, it's practical and economical to have, you know, pretty pervasively deployed instrumentation. Right? And, you know, I mean, I would kind of regard, you know, it's interesting, actually, because I was looking at the Moray package, and it seems to be organized in a way that I imagine is how the workflow happens in, you know, user experience practice, which is that there's a piece of it which is about, you know, you capture the video, you capture the screen activity, and then you go into this editor. And the editor is about kind of breaking it down into, you know, short sequences that illustrate highlights, right? And then I guess kind of the typical thing that happens here is then you kind of generate a video of these short clips, right? And that's the thing that kind of is brought to the software team and, and given as the evidence for, you know, why we need to change this and fix that. But, you know, it just kind of struck me that in a certain sense, there's a lot of effort involved in doing that step that gets you from the raw material to the produced video, right? That's a kind of a lot of work, and I just kind of was wondering, well, in some sense, you know, if I'm the developer, you know, is it worth it to the project for somebody to spend 8 hours, you know, boiling down all that raw stuff, you know, into this highlight feed, you know, so that the highlights can be presented to me, or to really to take the same amount of time and let the developer kind of look at the more raw footage, especially in an environment where you know, it's instrumented for search, right? So, you know, if they can look for events, if they can look for landmarks that are associated with known problems, right? I don't know. I mean, I just it just kind of seems interesting to me that, you know, you can have increasingly stuff which is captured in a form that is itself queryable,
right?
You know, without there having to necessarily be this extra step of kind of post production. Although I'm in many cases I'm sure that's integral to the process too.
Well, and I think that, you know, I think you're right. I don't think you need to go through all that post-production stuff, especially it depends on the situation. Now, it's my business, so I might do a bit of post-production in order to present. What I'm trying to do is bring my client's customer experience to them and to their team and to say, okay, here's what's really happening. But if you're, and one of the things I try to do is always get developers and designers involved in that research as well so they can see it firsthand, because it has to transform how they think about the world. You know, that's what this stuff does. It transforms how we think about things. But it does require, in addition to having the economical tool, it requires the mindset of the developer to be different.
Yes.
You know, because it's not enough to have a hammer. You have to sort of have a reason to use the hammer and believe that the hammer can add value, you know?
Right.
And then, and along with that, you know, there's a couple things about, okay, well, here's how you use a hammer, and here's, you know, with the feedback the hammer is giving you, what to do with it and how to interpret it correctly.
Yeah, no, I take your point. In other words, you know, even if in theory all of the information is now available to the developer, the point is that you know, because of the mindset, they're not going to be able to see what needs to be seen unless it's kind of pulled out and consolidated.
It can be, but at least now it's available. I mean, what we're doing is we're opening up this pipe, the conduit between the developer and the end user, which I've always, you know, I call it the Bermuda Triangle of design, is basically that you have these marketing people out here that talk to customers and they get all these requirements and then they deliver them to developers in this sort of bullet list of, you know, do this, do that, do the other. I mean, I was at Hewlett-Packard as a senior human factors engineer. You know, we'd get things like, okay, do DHCP, you know, from a system administration standpoint. We'd be like, what the hell is that? You know, what do you mean, do DHCP? How do those guys use it? How do they want to use it? You know, and at the time, that was when DHCP was, you know, sort of coming of age. And so what happens is all that knowledge of the customer's real experience and what they need is being distilled down to these sort of bullet points that then developers have difficulty with. They don't have the data they need for design. So this opens up that pipe, that conduit, and allows them to sort of tap that experience, but they need to be in the same way that, you know, you'd come up to speed in a new development platform or a new development tool,
mm-hmm.
you'd need to come up to speed and take some time to change a little bit how we look at the experiential data that's going to come from these things and how do we act on it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that your development team has to become human-computer interaction professionals, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I firmly believe that as a discipline, you know, when you take a multidisciplinary approach to a project, you need to have somebody with human factors or usability skill set on board or available to help the team in the same way that you would have a learning products guy or, you know, or whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's part of a larger team effort.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that a development team can't sort of fish for themselves as well in a way that doesn't require them to do a whole nother job in addition to the one they've been given.
Yes.
You see what I mean? I don't know if I'm saying that very well, but
no, absolutely.
But,
you know, and Pete, I think, is particularly thoughtful on this topic, which is that, you know, he sees it as a sort of complete life cycle thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I mean, you should, you know, that this possibility of instrumenting the user experience, you know, should exist. You know, when the product is out in the field and just in normal use, right? You should have the ability to tap into that channel and say,
sure.
You know, like, I mean, because it is just, well, you know, of course, I mean, it's just an extraordinary thing. I mean, my wife's office is in the other end of the house from where my office is, and I put VNC on there recently because
mm-hmm.
I got tired of, you know, trotting down to the other end for tech support.
Right.
And I, you know, tuned in the other day, and my daughter was on my wife's computer, and it just, you know, I mean, the most basic things in applications like Outlook Express and Internet Explorer, you know, just sort of watching her kind of grapple with things that I don't even consider to be concepts, right?
Exactly.
But you know, that clearly are, right? It's just an amazing
mm-hmm.
thing to see that, you know.
Yeah.
So
it really is. I think, you know, what you're saying too is true about developers or anybody else who's designed a system. You can get too close to it. And what you take for granted are major, like, milestone hurdles that your end users have to go through in
uh-huh.
order to, you know, the one of the ways to look at it, John, is that everybody approaches an interactive system with a use model in their head, a way that they believe that the world works.
Mm-hmm.
And the system has its own system model as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the degree to which those two things differ is sort of what I call experience stress,
mm-hmm.
or it's, you know, it's sort of the how far does a user have to go to begin to understand and use what you've developed.
Yes.
And, you know, so if I jumped in a car and the accelerator was on the left and the brake was on the right, you know, my use model jumping into the vehicle is completely different than the vehicle is designed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's likely going to result in effort that I have to apply in order to not kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the same way, I think, with some of these, like you say, even basic sort of things. When you talk about, you know, word processing or something, I mean, my mom used to freak out about how what she just typed, you know, was gone. It just disappeared. It's gone, you know, and it's like, she had no concept of a scroll bar or, you know, something like that. So so there are, it's one of the things we have to do as designers and developers is to go, okay, I'm going to leave all my preconceptions, all my biases at the door here, and I'm going to look at this experience that these individuals are having with my system, and then I'm going to try to understand where the patterns are so that I can refine the design. And I think these tools will provide an avenue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the portable tools will. I think some of the remote tools will as well,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because you can get some quick feedback using the web now just by having, you know, an online chat even or a quick online meeting, you know,
yes.
conference. So.
Yes,